B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, let's talk some football with, normally we have the Tuesdays with Sal, but we moved it over to Wednesday today. Of course, the great Sal Palantonio, ESPN's number one football reporter, is brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Well, Sal Pal, it's trouble in Philadelphia with the football team.
Michael, how does 0-2 feel to you?
Believe me, people are going crazy here. It's bitter, it's ugly, it's like there's no uplifting situation right now in Philly sports, and the Eagles are adding to it.
Oh, well, I've been listening, and I hear from my friends, I hear from everybody. You know, they've had great success under Doug Peterson, won the Super Bowl. He's never been 0-2 before. This was completely unexpected considering how the team ended the season last year, particularly how Carson Wentz ended the season last year, going 4-0. I realize he was hurt in the playoff game, but he had a tremendous end to the season, and no one anticipated this. Count me in, that group. I did not anticipate this.
Well, explain to me the Wentz thing, if you can, and then explain to me the dynamic between the quarterback and the coach, which seems to be interesting right now.
Yeah, Michael, see, we're very limited now because we have no access to the players or the coaches other than through text, and that's extremely limited. This is the first time that's ever happened. You can't go into the locker room after the game. You can't go on the field before the game. You can't go into the locker room during the week. So it's very difficult as a reporter to ascertain the truth. There's a lot of theories out there, and I can test a couple of the theories out with you. I've talked to a lot of people about them. How does Wentz go from 4-0 and carry an undermanned team into the postseason to 0-2, where he's already thrown half as many interceptions as he had all last season? He's constantly fumbling the ball. And here's the troubling number for me, and I'm sure you've heard a litany of statistics all weekend long and for the first 2 days of this week. Mike, he's got 20 off-target throws. That's most in the NFL. 15 of them, 15 of the 20, are with a clean pocket, not under duress, not under pressure.
That's not good.
No. So, you know, I've asked a lot of experts to look at him on film because, you know, I'm not a quarterback coach. And they say his footwork is off, or that he's rushing throws, that he just looks like, you know, he can't hit an open guy, like a Chuck Knoblauch situation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's just got a little bit of the, you know, yip, a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the poor decision-making, that interception in the end zone, throws it into double coverage. Mike, throws it into double coverage late. And it's a poor decision to begin with on a first down. So let's go through the theories. One, he's coming off a concussion. He doesn't want to move out of the pocket. That's theory number one. That's very troubling. Theory number two is he's got coaching by committee, no offensive coordinator. He's got Morningwig, Scangarella, and Press Taylor, and Doug Peterson. He's got four guys. And when you have a committee, you don't have accountability. That's something that could be looked at. You know, he's obviously under serious pressure in the first game. Maybe in the second game, he was seeing stuff that wasn't there. That's a possibility. So there's a lot, you know, and then I'm not crazy about the wide receiver situation. That's another thing. But he overcame that at the end of last year. So I'm looking to validate one of these theories and see where it takes us. But right now, they have dug in their heels and have said, we're going to fix this. We believe in ourselves. We haven't lost confidence.
Well, that's all well and good. And now let's talk about the relationship here because, you know, it was a very peculiar answer that when he was asked the question, how come Carson has regressed? And the head coach said, that's a good question. So, in other words, he's giving credence to it, which you don't find many coaches give credence to. Is there a problem between these two men as far as getting on the same page?
I don't think that there is. I know them both very well. I communicate with Doug a lot. And I don't think that they have a communication problem, and I don't think that they have a relationship problem. So I don't think that that's one of the answers. Now, he's as perplexed as a lot of people who are watching Carson. Sure. I mean, if he doesn't have an answer, I think Doug is telling the truth. Doug, you know, I think he's as perplexed as everybody else. You know, he gave that answer about the pandemic, you know, and that was silly. And that, to me, was not only didn't it resonate with fans, it had no confidence once it left his lips with anybody who is listening in the media. But if you're a player on that team, what are you saying? Right? What are you saying? You're saying that Carson has got a problem that everybody else doesn't have. Everybody's going through the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, it's all these guys, and this should not be undersold. And that could be part of the theory, believe me, because these guys are getting tested every single day. Now, people who are getting tested that much, there's a lot of stress. It's literally like rolling the dice. It's Russian roulette. You don't know what the result is going to be. You don't know what you've been exposed to. Just imagine every day you wake up and you have to be COVID tested every single day in order to go to work. And if you test positive, bang, you're out. 14 days on the shelf. And then you got to test negative two or three times before you come back to work. That's serious stress level. And these guys have been tested every single day since the end of July. Every player, every coach, every staff member in Tier 2. And I know there's stress because I've talked to coaches about it. Not players, because we don't have access to players.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Well, let's look at the possible game plan tweaks that they can make, because I you know, we looked at the first game and I just thought that it was ridiculous that they didn't really try anything different to get him out of the pocket or to draw play, screen plays, whatever. Why are they afraid to get him out of the pocket like before when he, you know, was kind of playing with more abandon?
It's dumb, and I don't know why. And they need to fix it. If you look at the Rams and how that was designed by Sean McVay. Now, I'm not a big Sean McVay guy. You know, I've come on this show and said, Sean McVay, coach of the year. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson beat his brains in with no problem in L.A. twice, okay? And with a backup quarterback. So Doug has had his number. And then Sean McVay just comes out and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll the guy out, and we're going to have three levels of options. Now, you go back and look at it. Even if you look at it on TV, you can see he's got an underneath route, he's got a middle route and a deep route, and in most cases, all three were open. All because Goff was on the run. When Goff was on the out of the pocket, now you got to dedicate a hat to Goff, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. The same thing should be doing with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you talking to Doug about that? Has he said anything to you about that?
It's simple. It's simple. Yeah, it's simple. Everybody's talking to him about it. But again, you don't have an offensive coordinator. You got a passing game coordinator, and you got two consultants in Morningwig and Scangarella. So take that for what it's worth. You don't have a guy who's designing every single week and says, this is my design, this is my imprint, this is what we're doing with this
guy. Does the head coach think that's faulty? Or obviously he doesn't.
We haven't been asked. We haven't asked him about that.
Okay.
We have not asked him about that. Definitely not. But you could also see what happened on the other side of the ball, Mike. There's a lot of blame to spread around.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, what did McVay do? He attacked those linebackers like crazy. He absolutely went after him. He looked at the tape of the first game and said, "These guys can't tackle. They can't go sideline to sideline."
Yeah.
If I give him a face mask full of my big back, I'm going to run right through him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the third level, Malcolm is not there. He's not coming through the door anytime soon. You got Jalen Mills, who's less experienced, smaller, and just not the leader on defense that Malcolm Jenkins was.
Well, all right.
So we're always, the team's 0-2, and you know people are saying what happens on Sunday against the Bengals. Well, they got to win the game, and people are saying, well, you know, they got to cover in order to really convince anybody. No, they don't. They just got to win a game because you know they're not going to go to San Francisco and win.
No, we're looking at 1-5. Even if they win the game,
if they win the game. So they just got to win the game and try to get some confidence and identity in what they do and then make a trip across the country and see what happens.
All right. Sal, pal, always a pleasure. Good to talk to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, what's a Wednesday?
Wednesday's with Sal.
Yeah, once in a while. We'll stick a Wednesday in there.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sorry, talk to you.
Sal, pal, brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino.